And lots of good news, I'm sure, at 13 minutes to 12, because that's just the kind of people they are, to Radar and Irene Pank. Good morning.
Oh, sorry, I've got a mouthful of bagel.
Oh, that's good.
Terrible.
You
what? I'm going to finish eating it.
I'm ready, Catherine.
Okay, you're ready. I don't want to ask why Radar...
Well, it's very simple. I'm still living in the future. I'm still on daylight saving time. So this is kind of... I'm already at sort of 10 to 1. I needed to have my lunch or I'd start to get a little bit hangry. And I strongly recommend allow... If you're not still on daylight saving time, just go back to it because it makes a 9 o'clock meeting really civilised. That's a 10 o'clock meeting. You get a lot done. You get to wake up in the dark.
You're not having pre-McDonald's... Sorry, go ahead, Irene.
Sorry, I was just going to say, but if you're on daylight savings time, aren't you in that meeting on your own because you're at the wrong time?
Oh, it does take quite a lot of coordination to try to remember what time the real world outside of my section is. But I'm thinking of getting – actually, I haven't thought of this. I've just thought of it now. I'm going to get 2 clocks and I'm going to have my time and New Zealand Standard Time and I'm going to put them up like I'm in some kind of lockdown bunker or like a sophisticated financial trading system.
I thought you might have been having pre-McDonald's is about to open kind of comfort food pre-binge or something.
No. Irene, have you got a hankering?
You know, someone on my Zoom, various Zoom meetings, because I'm lucky enough that I can work from home, we've been asking each other what is the food or the takeaway that we're all looking forward to eating next Tuesday. And the thing for me is that because I'm on my own with the dog, I just want to have food that I haven't cooked. I'm so sick of my own cooking that I don't care what it is. And actually, a hamburger would be delicious, absolutely delicious.
Is the dog sick of your cooking too, or still happy?
She's still wagging her tail, but we're getting on each other's nerves, actually, because she tends to... I'm surprised she's not barking right now, because she seems to sense whenever I'm on a call, and then she'll do a hysterical barking, and, you know, and then we're doing all that cliche thing of, oh, sorry, you can hear my dog.
But it is one of those things that does make us realise just how important some parts of New Zealand are. I saw a great conversation the other day about kind of essentially folk in Taranaki isolating themselves. They said, look, there's only a couple of roads in and out. We can shut those roads and we're fine. Until people realised, and this came through this week, there's a factory in Waitara that makes all of the McDonald's patties. And, of course, for those who think, well, I'm more of a Subway person, of course, you've got Yarrows in Manaia who make all of the bread. So if we isolated Taranaki, there would be very little fast food available.
What about KFC? Where did that chicken come from? Because KFC would be my one to get, I reckon.
Do you have a preferred KFC? Because you're the same way we are, and they're not all fast food restaurants are created the same. And I know I haven't left the place for 5 weeks, and I'm looking forward to the first thing I do to take a drive on Tuesday past the line on Lincoln Road that I'm sure will head halfway up the empty northwestern of people trying to queue to get through the Lincoln Road KFC. It'll be interesting. Yeah. Because of course the other one, there's another little one that doesn't have a drive-through. It probably won't be open unless they're just doing what some cafes do where you text them and you tell them the time you're going to turn up and then they just leave your food out on the pavement, which in many ways I just think is preparing me for my future.
I love that woman this morning. Forgive me, her name's not going to pop up, who's just got a little hole in the wall kind of set up and the only thing she could do to create the sort of takeaway was just cut a hole in the door. It's just whatever it takes.
Look, there's going to be a huge rush on cat doors.
And that whole necessity is the invention, the cause of invention or whatever. Yeah, I think that with lots of jobs or lots of people not being able to work, it's amazing what people will figure out to do to hustle and to make money that they need to make, which I think is, you know, it's not great for everybody, but it's definitely creative.
Necessity is the mother of invention, is that it?
It is. We saw that, you know, speaking of a hole in the wall, there's a great little family up this way. The child wanted to play with the neighbour's kid, but the social isolation, so they cut one of the boards out of the fence and they put a 4-metre seesaw through, and I guess 2 metres on either side of the axis of the seesaw gives you your social distancing so the child and the neighbour's child could have a seesaw without actually breaking the bubble.
I wonder if it's once the kids are finished, the adults get on for the Friday night drinks. And they can just sort of like That could be quite interesting.
Yeah, do enjoy a seesaw. Because there's not really, there's always that argument I'm having with people about what age are you technically supposed to stop playing on a playground. Like, I love a playground. I love a slide. I love a seesaw. And people say they're not for adults. And I'm saying, but there's no, I've never seen a kind of a, there's, I guess there's an unwritten rule, but it's not really a law or a regulation. It's more just an attitude as to when an adult has to stop having a slide.
Well, there's a bunch of kids standing around looking sad while you're all over the kit later. That's probably a hint, isn't it?
Yeah, that just teaches them patience. Patient waiting, children.
I find it's when I start breaking things, breaking swings.
I think when you get too heavy for the seesaw as well, when it's less of a seesaw for you, it's more just my bum's on the ground and the other person's stuck in the air.
That is right.
Yeah. It was always such a power thing, wasn't it, the seesaw? It was always the big person who could just sit there and hold the little person in suspended animation.
Or the two kids and having to try to find that kind of balance of weighting more and more children of different weights and swapping them around until you get a sort of a perfect equilibrium. I'll be fine. I'm rocking a depression era gauntness at the moment as I sit at home and try to think of things to do. What? How? I don't know. Just sort of getting smaller. Yeah, I'm quite lazy as it is, and I think it's probably just lethargy. But hey, look, here's the thing. We're talking about mothers of invention. There's a lot of sports people. We've just had sports and people are missing their sports. The way that people have reinterpreted the notion of sport, I've always been a big fan of high-level marble racing. And some of the tracks are incredibly elaborate. And now Formula E, who are part of the whole kind of Formula One crowd, have taken up actual professional, I guess, marble racing to replace all of the races that aren't going ahead. And they've even got Jack Nicholls, who's the Formula One commentator, commentating. And as someone said, imagine telling him, and this really sums up the last kind of month or so, imagine telling this guy, who was the preeminent Formula One voice or Formula E voice, that he would be commentating on a marbles race rather than being in Paris and commentating on the actual race. Unbelievable.
So I think this has shown that the commentators are good at, like, you know, you probably talked about it already before with the commentator that does the dogs and eating the dog's food and dog's walk and commentating on those, which was far more interesting to me than the actual original sport that they're commentating on. But the marble racing, because I still love marbles at primary school, like having the Clearys and what do we used to call the big ones that used to have to go to the marble patch and win? So it's those sorts of marbles, isn't it, Ray?
Yeah, I just an ordinary kind of marble. And as I say, you know, people have got a lot of time to set up tracks. And actually, you can become quite emotionally invested in this. If you haven't sat down and watched some of these marble races, by all means do.
I love that world.
The cars. Mm.
I was going to say, I love the world's museums who are showing off their creepiest exhibits. Is this linked to our current situation?
If you go through some of the examples from museums all around the world, they're absolutely hilarious. My favourite, two of them were my favourite. One was a woman's hair bun from Roman times, 3rd and 4th century. It was basically just a bun of hair, and I have a bun most days. So that didn't really creep me out. So I just thought, it looks like my bun, you know, so that's all right. But the one that I loved the most was a pin cushion that had little, like in the shape of a pea pod, with little babies in the pea pod. And I just thought, creepy, but also quite charming,
People had a lot of time on their hands. I particularly enjoyed the pigeon heart that you used to stick pins in for punishing punishing a witch. We haven't quite got back to that yet. Or the pubic hair snuff box. I mean, everyone just needs things. Victorian. I found some of my hair the other day that I'd stuck away from somewhere when I chopped it all off at some period. And I kind of went, that's right. That's not at all creepy, having kept that for 20 years. Yeah. Yeah, it's in a pink Echo Records bag. Yeah, I still have it. You never know when you're going to need to knit an urgent plague jersey. It'd be a very small jersey.
How did that survive your Maria Kondo phase?
Well, it brought me joy. I have nothing else. There's nothing else left. Nothing else has brought me joy.
Is it actually stuck to an effigy of you, right? Or is it actually in a bag of its own?
No, but I did find some effigies as well from the past. I've kept a lot of things just to remind myself of things that I did, a long time ago. Not all of them are hygienic. But at least I'm wearing pants and clothes, and I'm dressing well. I've had, as Irene, have a lot of Skype meetings and hosted an online summit yesterday. But the thing that I do work from home, unlike Irene, who has to go to a job, and so I'm used to getting up. But I suddenly realised that the one thing we didn't do, you don't wear shoes. So it does add a sense of sort of, even though your business at the top and you're wearing pants, you suddenly think, actually, I'm not wearing any shoes. That was probably my biggest revelation.
But what's your gear? What's your gear at Irene on your business executive calls? You got your frock on and your earrings in and everything? Makeup on?
Oh, God, no. I actually have made a thing, though, of having a shower every second day, because I do. People find this really gross, but if you're on your own with the dogs, you don't really need to shower daily. Is that gross?
The dog is more hygienic than you currently.
It's possibly gross for the dog, possibly.
No wonder you're getting on the dog's nerves. It's not your attitude. It's just your general aroma.
Thanks, the pair of you. What a beautiful, fragrant way to end the week. Thank you very much, Irene Pink. And thanks also to Tarada.